Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Sports Knoxville. Talk sports.
Hey, it's John Reed and Cody McClure. Fox Sports Knoxville, we getting money for sure. Cause we're addicted to sports. Louis V on my shorts. Been a Tennessee Vol since I hopped off the porch. Hey, Reggie White and Allen Houston, Florida, Georgia. Keep it moving, this is Rocky Top. You ain't wearing orange, what you doing? We talking UT sports in the booth. Chris Laughlin with the shot, yeah, we ready to shoot. Hey. We talking sports.
Hour three kicking off the Fan Run Studios. If you're missing the first 2 hours, check out the podcast, FoxSportsKnoxville.com, powered by 245 Tech. 43% of cyber attacks are aimed at small to mid-sized businesses. If you are a business owner and you have any information and any livelihood depending on your website, you need to consider giving my friends at 245 Tech a call. 245tech.com. They're based right here in Knoxville. They're on Kingston Pike. Appreciate them for their support and for powering the website. Cody McClure, Hour 3 headlines, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Nebraska has its worst start in school history after the meltdown on Saturday against Northwestern. Nebraska 0-6 for the first time ever. Painful, painful. Worst beginning to a season in the program's 129-year history. Cornhuskers at 0-6 under Scott Frost. Iowa State, they beat West Virginia Saturday, as you know. Some more details here after the Iowa State golfer was killed. Do you remember her?
The jogger.
Celia Barquin.
Was she the girl who got killed while jogging or no?
Yes, Erosamina was her name. Some new details in that, in the stabbing death on the Ames, Iowa golf course. The guy that they arrested for her murder, Colin Richards, who police described as homeless, told the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation he had cut his hands days before. His hand was still bleeding, apparently, when they found him. An examination of his injury, state investigators said, was consistent with one of two serration marks found on Barquin Arizamina's body. So, yeah, she was the 2018 Big 12 Women's Golf Champion and Iowa State Female of the Year, found dead on September 17th. So this guy remains in jail on a $5 million cash bond. Police found knives, fingerprints, and other physical evidence in their investigation, according to court documents which were recently made public. So they found knives on this guy and all kinds of other stuff. Not good. Not good. President Trump praised Urban Meyer over the weekend at a rally in Ohio.
Oh, God.
During the rally, the crowd was very loud, very receptive of the president. And President Trump said, "It sounds like we're in the middle of an Ohio State football game. And speaking of Ohio State, they're not doing too badly, are they?"
Trump said. That's such a wrestling trick. Whatever city you're in, just say the most generic positive thing about the city and get an applause. That's like such a cheap pop. Hey, it sounds like we're in Columbus, an Ohio State football game. Yeah! OH!
Speaking of Ohio State, they're not doing too badly, are they? Trump said.
No, they're undefeated.
Well, Mr. President, they're good like always. He then said, "They have a great coach, a great guy. That's the exact quote. "They have a great coach, a great guy. That's what the president says about Urban Meyer. A great guy.
Did he mention Urban Meyer by name? Did he know Urban Meyer's name? Or was he just going
no.
Or was he just going with the generic, like, his staffers told him they love their football team and they're pretty good and the coach is good.
Nope. The only quote, they have a great coach, a great coach, a great guy, a great guy.
All right.
So the president weighing in on Ohio State football over the weekend. Khabib Nurmagomedov has challenged Floyd Mayweather. In the jungle, only one king, Khabib says. So apparently he wants a piece of Floyd, and I guess now that's going to happen like 6 months down the road, right?
I mean, whenever you see how much Mayweather got paid.
How much money there is to be made.
You probably feel like, hey, be nice to get some of that money.
Yeah, well, I suppose it would be. So he wants to challenge Floyd. I mean, I would tune in. I would tune in. That would be interesting to me, a fight between those two.
I mean, sure, I guess. I mean, even though Khabib's a grappling expert and someone who, you know, thrives on getting people on the ground, I mean, sure, I guess I would still watch it.
I mean, what's Floyd going to do? He's just going to – the only way it would ever happen would be if they boxed, right? I mean, it's not like Floyd's going to do anything else with him. An update on Sears, the store that changed America, it has now declared bankruptcy.
Maybe they'll do like I don't think so. I feel like Sears – didn't Sears declare bankruptcy like 10 years ago?
I don't know.
I thought Sears owned Kmart, and whenever Kmart like filed bankruptcy, I thought Sears was a part of that. I guess not, though. Maybe they'll do like Toys R Us and decide, hey, you know what? Bankruptcy ain't for us. We're coming back better than ever. Yeah! I haven't seen anybody out crying support for Sears.
CEO Eddie Lampert.
I don't need more to hear more
about
Sears.
Stepping down from his post.
No, I don't need to hear more about it. I'm fine
with
it.
You're not interested in the fact that they will close approximately 142 of their stores before the year ends?
I feel bad for the workers there, but I don't need to hear more about it.
Yeah, the company employs 70,000 workers, so many of them going to lose their jobs. John Reed not interested in people losing their jobs.
I mean, I feel bad.
But not really.
I feel bad.
Le'Veon Bell is still not at the Steelers practice facility, despite his plan to report during the bye week for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was going to say, are other players in the facilities the Monday after a win on a bye week?
I don't know, but he's not.
Okay.
We'll see if he shows up at some point in time. Baseball over the weekend. Dodgers, I mentioned it earlier, they tied the series up with the Brewers in the NLCS. They will play again tonight in L.A. And then the ALCS, the Red Sox, tie things up with the Astros. They will play again in that series on Tuesday in Houston. Both series tied 1-1.
They were able to win, but man, you cannot have any confidence in David Price. The Yankees got him. You thought, okay, let's give him another try against the Astros. They got to him, too. Still feels like the Astros easily win this series. I wouldn't be surprised if the Astros win all three in Houston. They still play 2-3-2, right? So they got three straight in Houston. I wouldn't be surprised if Houston won all three. The Red Sox best pitcher, Chris Sale, in the hospital, his velocity's down. If he's not a true ace, they don't really have a chance against the Astros, in my opinion. I stalled as long as I could, Cody.
Jimmy Butler. This computer's slowing down, man. I got to upgrade. This thing's from like 2010.
I don't need to hear about your computer. I need to hear more headlines. Tell me about Jimmy Butler.
One of those new MacBooks. He has apologized. The 76ers and Mike Muscala have apologized for his dad's offensive tweets about Jimmy Butler. So the Sixers condemned the racist social media comments directed over the weekend at Jimmy Butler made by the father of forward Mike Muscala and apologized for those comments. Sixers GM Elton Brand said earlier today, I was made aware of the inappropriate and offensive social media posts from Bob Muscala. Simply put, they're unacceptable and in no way reflective of the beliefs of our organization. Should the Sixers have to apologize for one of their players' father's racist comments? I mean, it feels like he should be the one apologizing for them, right?
I mean, yeah. But it still feels kind of like something I guess the team kind of has to address. Although it is kind of stupid, you know.
They made sure to point out with Mike Muscala since his rookie year in 2013, these posts are in no way reflective of his own personal beliefs.
Well, that's good.
So his father feels some racist feelings, but not him, apparently.
You know, Mike Muscala played with the Hawks. It was, by all accounts, a pretty good locker room guy. Good glue guy. People liked him. Didn't have any issues in the locker room.
I stand
with Mike Muscala.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really look at a guy's dad making racist comments and thinking that he and automatically believe that he does, right?
No, 100%.
I guess that's kind of where it's weird to me that that they even put out a statement on that, but I don't know. I guess these days you've got to make sure to clarify that you are not a racist. Pete Davidson, the SNL actor and writer and comedian, his engagement with Ariana Grande is no longer.
Well, now I got to take him off my winners and losers list. I had him as a loser.
Oh.
It's okay.
I think he's kind of a winner.
Think he's a winner?
You have a short fling with Ariana Grande?
I don't think it was a fling, bro. He got.
Doesn't work out.
He got like her logo tattooed on the back of his neck, or like right behind his ear.
Oh God, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't really feel like he's a winner in this situation.
No.
His fame had really spiked up after the engagement. He's getting highlighted on SNL more. They talked about it on SNL. Now he has a very public breakup.
The engagement called off. I bet SNL will make it funny in some way or another.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe not. Maybe he'll just be really depressed. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. We will find out what Jeremy Pruitt said at his press conference, if there's any updates from intern Andrew. We got winners and losers coming up, and then we'll pump the brakes to keep rolling. Hour 3 rolls on right here in the Fan Run Studios. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program, Jeremy Pruitt addressing the media. A couple of nice nuggets from him. A couple of ones that kind of just make you say, yeah, well, that's disappointing. At least that's how I felt reading and having intern Andrew read a couple of them to me. Although I guess there's not much you can say about Alabama's offense right now, but he said, hey, I've watched a lot of their film on offense. I'm not sure we need to work on our punt return unit. It's not good to hear, although, I guess it's kind of factual. Alabama doesn't really punt.
Pruitt said we don't need to work on punt return this week.
Yeah, he pretty much said, yeah, we're not going to have to work much on our punt returns this week in practice.
He's realistic. That's good.
Said that Alabama's had to try really hard in a couple games not to give up, not to score, 100 points.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not hearing anything that's inaccurate so far.
One other thing that kind of, I can't decide if it disappointed me or not. He said that the defense basically did the same exact thing in the second half as they did the first half, just that players executed better in the second half. Does that make you feel better or worse? Or not, maybe not worse, but just does it ruin you feeling good about the halftime adjustments? Or on the flip side, do you look and say, well, they had the right game plan the entire game, just in the first quarter especially, like it didn't get executed very well?
Yeah, that one doesn't really give me any feelings too much one way, positive or negative. I mean,
okay.
Because they looked good in the first half outside of that opening drive, and then, of course, the big play they gave up from the speedy guy. I mean, they looked okay in the first half, so.
Okay.
I'm okay with it.
I came, you know, just – we love the idea of halftime adjustments, though, right? We love the idea of a coach looking at some tendencies, looking at what the other offense is doing and saying, look, we're going to do this and this to stop them.
Changing things on the fly to improve for the second half.
Yeah, yeah, like we do kind of romanticize that idea, or at least I do, in terms of, man, I want a coach who can out-scheme somebody and look and say, okay, you're doing this different than you were last week. Okay, we're going to do this to stop it. But, you know, I guess like we said, it's also promising that they're saying, no, look, we knew what we had to do all week. Right? We knew what we had to do all week. We had this game plan in. We did what we had to. We mm-hmm. just didn't really execute it well in the first half. Okay. All right. Some injury updates. Jameer Johnson, Dominic Wood Anderson, Micah Abernathy all day today. Aren't we all? Aren't we all? And then throws out a little bit of some water on this fire. It's just like, hey, look, it's not like we sat here all summer thinking, man, I hope we're 3-3 after six games. So he's saying, yeah, look, we celebrated the Auburn win for 24 hours. Now it's time to go back to work. I didn't want to be 3-3. Quite frankly, Jeremy Pruitt was confident in the first four games. He probably thought, hey, if we beat Auburn, we could be 5-1. Wouldn't that have been something?
It would be.
That would have been pretty fun. But yeah, like, you know, Jeremy Pruitt was confident in the first four games. So yeah, I'm sure he didn't look and say, yeah, let's just get to 3-3 after six games. Although I do think he realizes that what that Auburn win and what being 3-3 does hopefully mean for the rest of the year, it gives you a shot, if not makes you a favorite to make a bowl game. Intern Andrew was scouring the internet looking for headlines and came across ESPN's SEC power rankings. And Tennessee were they in ninth, Andrew? But they were ahead of three teams remaining on their schedule. They were ahead of South Carolina, Missouri, and Vanderbilt.
Hey, we'll take it.
So, I mean, just looking at that, you stop and say, okay, there's a chance for not only two SEC wins to get you bowl eligible, there's a chance for a third one to get you to 7-5.
I think at this point, at least everybody now kind of thinks, okay, Tennessee has a chance to get to a bowl and play with these teams down the schedule, whereas before the win over Auburn, a lot of the national people or people who cover the conference were probably like, I don't know. There was, you know, because all you saw were wins against ETSU and UTEP.
Now, I will say that as good as that road win was, still really, really hope that Tennessee is able to get a quote-unquote big win at home.
Which would be Kentucky or Missouri.
I'd love to have both. I would love to end the season with three straight home wins. Missouri, Kentucky, Charlotte.
I'd be fine with two of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm fine with two of them as well, although two of them probably doesn't get you to a bowl game. Well, so I don't know if I am fine with those, actually. I mean, assuming you lose on the road to South Carolina.
I'm assuming you win on the road at Vanderbilt. But then again, you really don't want to put the season down to a one-game situation at Vanderbilt. We've seen that before.
No, but I think everyone would say, okay, we'll take those chances.
Yeah.
Like going into the Vanderbilt game at 5-6 is a hell of a lot better than going in at 4-7.
I guess the way I'm looking at it is, like, if we have to take some losses, I'd rather lose to the better teams or teams. Like, if Kentucky comes in ranked and they're pretty good, I'd rather take that loss, as weird as it sounds, to lose to Kentucky and Neyland than I would, like, at Vandy. You know what I mean?
I understand that, but I do think it's important that the home crowd gets rewarded a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the five to 8,000 Tennessee fans who made the trip down to Auburn got rewarded, and I was really happy for them. There is really no feeling like going on the road and beating a SEC opponent. Like, it's fun. The whole weekend feels fun, and it feels worth it. But I do want the home crowd to get to celebrate. It's been a long time since Tennessee's gotten to celebrate a win at home.
Been a minute.
Now, I mean, I know you've won at home this year, but you don't get to celebrate against UTEP and ETSU. Like, that's no celebration.
Yeah, nobody's celebrating against Charlotte.
Beating Southern Miss last year. Okay, cool. You didn't get to celebrate. If you beat Kentucky, you'll get to celebrate. If you beat Missouri, you'll get to celebrate. So I do think that there's still work to be done, and I think Pruitt's right in kind of having that mentality. Damn it, I hate that this Alabama game is next. Although I guess you always are worried about letdowns in college football, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you need to refocus or to kind of remind you, hey, we still need to get better. We haven't really arrived. I guess this weekend could potentially be that for the last five games of the season.
Be a nice reminder of where we're really at, huh?
I mean, I don't want to be I'm not trying to, you know, temper the expectations. I'm merely saying that I'm trying to look for positives of, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Go out. Find a way after Alabama to find you two more conference wins.
Yeah, like it's not like taking a blowout loss this weekend is going to be demoralizing. You'd like to come out and have a good showing or whatever, get your moral victory, but like nobody has played with this Alabama team all year. Nobody's probably going to, except maybe LSU and Baton Rouge.
They're playing a different sport. They've had four or five straight number one recruiting classes. I mean, like, you are.
It's okay. You know, we can move on after the Bama game.
I am really excited. Like, we had talked about that last week of, like, how we're finally excited for another Tennessee game. We got rewarded with that. I'm really excited to watch this team the last five games of the season.
I am, too.
I'm really excited to see how they progress and, you know, see what wins they can get. Another big nugget from Pruitt's press conference, Tyson Helton will stay down on the sideline. Tyson Helton will remain on the sideline, field level, during games. I thought that call was so brilliant. We were all sitting in here, you know, and Tennessee gets the ball back around midfield, and we're like, now's the time to do the play action shot. Up 10.
And we did it.
Early in the fourth quarter, and Pruitt came out, and Helton finally called the play-action pass. And you hit a big bomb that got you set up for a 13-point lead.
Been hoping for it for 6 weeks.
We were playing the long game there. A little bit of a slow burn.
It's like Helton in the West Virginia game. He circled Auburn right back in August. He's like, this is where we're going to break it out.
If we have a lead in the fourth quarter and we get the ball around midfield – I'm taking a shot.
We are doing this at Auburn.
They will never see it coming.
Going to get Gus's ass fired.
Winners and losers of the weekend up next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Davey Hutt.
Back on the program, time for this week's edition of Winners and Losers. Ben Lee, hit the music.
Winners and losers, winners and losers, winners, losers, winners, losers, winners and losers.
Cody McClure, you want to go first? Who are your winners of the weekend?
I usually have a backup vocalist on that. My number three winner is Michigan State. Sparty, going on the road and beating Penn State. That's a bad loss for Penn State, but Michigan State.
Michigan State always has James Franklin's number.
They really do. Michigan State, it's big for them because, you know, they lost that game at Arizona State early in the year. You remember Utah State, they looked bad. They just really haven't.
They lost to Northwestern.
I know. They haven't really had it together all year. So I think for Sparty to go on the road, get them a nice little win there, I think it's good for them. Number two, Oregon. The Ducks taking down Washington, keeping slim playoff hopes alive. They're slim, but they're still alive.
My Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, that's a good win for your Ducks. Your Ducks, our Ducks. I like the Ducks too.
Whoa!
Congrats to Oregon.
Don't try to ride my duck wave. You're a UCLA Bruin fan through and through.
What? I've called Chip Kelly a loser for the last 7 weeks.
He got to win. He got to win this week.
I know he's not on my loser list. Spoiler alert. Number one, Michigan winner. So the state of Michigan doing pretty good. For Michigan to beat down Wisconsin the way that they did, I thought Michigan minus 9.5 was asinine, and it shows what I know because they beat the hell out of Wisconsin. That's a nice win for Harbaugh, especially because that guy's had a lot of pressure, and now he's gotten the Wolverines in position. I mean, they're a top 10 football team now. You went out, you go beat Ohio State. It ain't going to happen, but if it did.
It might happen. It might happen.
I don't think so.
I mean, all of a sudden that game against Penn State doesn't seem so tough.
Well, that game against Michigan State still.
We got Michigan State this weekend, right?
Yeah. We talked about their schedule, you know, a week or two ago.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough for them to run the table. But if they do, hey, you know, they'll deserve it. Nice win for them.
A one-loss conference champion, Michigan, versus a undefeated Notre Dame for that last playoff spot would be pretty funny.
And Notre Dame beat them head-to-head, so.
Yeah.
Although it was week one. Shea Patterson, man, he hasn't had over – I mean, he threw for 282 against Maryland. Other than that, he's just like – he's barely done anything all year.
He hasn't had to. They didn't bring him in to do that. They brought him in to make the throws that they need him to make whenever the running game falls behind the sticks because they do a pretty good job of running the ball and playing pretty good defense. My biggest winners of the weekend, number three, the Pittsburgh Steelers – get to go into the weekend a half game back. They needed to win that game on the road. The poor Bengals cannot beat the Steelers. The Steelers, I want to say, are on a 7-game win streak against them. It's like 2013, I believe, it was the last time Cincinnati beat Pittsburgh in Cincinnati. Now the Steelers sort of kind of get rolling, and they get Le'Veon Bell back after the bye week, although their schedule, man, their schedule towards the end of the year kind of brutal. Number two, I had the same winner. I'm not going to change it. Oregon, the Ducks. Keep their slim playoff hopes alive, but most importantly probably for them, keep their chances of winning the Pac-12 North alive. They hate that Stanford loss. They could be top six or seven in the country with an inside track to being a playoff team if they blew that 17-point lead. Number one, biggest winners of the weekend, non-Tennessee Titan Vol fans. I'm not included in the biggest winners of the weekend. If you are a non-Titan fan, that probably means you hate the Titans, so you are extra happy at watching them get beat 21-0. You are the biggest winner of the weekend. Losers, Cody, who are your biggest losers of the weekend?
I think number three, I'm going to go with Miami and Mark Richt.
Ah. Yeah, great idea. Telling me that the over 9.5 wins was a lock.
Still on the table. You got to win out against Boston College, Duke, Georgia Tech, Vitek, Pitt.
They're not going to win
Still out. On the table.
They're not going to win out.
It's on the table. They're probably not going to win out. They had won a 5 in a row since LSU, but a really, really bad loss for the Canes over the weekend in wherever Virginia's at. Charlottesville? Is that where Virginia's at? I don't know. It's a bad loss. Number two, Dana Holgorsen. And, you know, just West Virginia in general. But Dana Holgorsen, he was complaining after the game about Iowa State and losing that game. He said the scene was very dicey. And he went into this whole tirade about how it's very unprofessional. Our job is to keep our student-athletes safe. Thousands of people coming at you. It's not good. It's scary. They're talking about the college kids rushing the field, which would be kind of scary, I guess, but he just sounds like a total loser. Dana Holgorsen sounds like a loser. And number one loser for me, and boy, do I take joy in it, the Georgia Bulldogs going into Baton Rouge undefeated and just getting spanked. Couldn't be happier about that loss from Georgia.
I didn't put Georgia on my losers list because they still control their own destiny. that loss stinks, but they're still in the same boat as they were last year. Kirby Smart winless against the SEC West on the road. Pruitt, however, is not.
Undefeated.
Jeremy Pruitt is undefeated against the SEC West on the road. Kirby Smart winless.
And Jeremy Pruitt's going to finish the year undefeated against the SEC West.
That's true.
On the road.
Now, next year, going down to Tuscaloosa, I mean, we don't know. Maybe it gets a 2-0, maybe not. But either way, he will not have a losing record. You can guarantee that.
I mean, what are the odds Alabama will be really good next year, too?
Great point. My third biggest loser of the weekend, the Jacksonville Jaguars. You got absolutely beaten down by the Dallas Cowboys. You had a chance to take back over first place as the Titans faltered. How about this for the Jaguars? 21 straight losses on the road in games played outside of the 1 o'clock window. If they play on the road at 4 o'clock, they lose. If they play on the road on Thursday night primetime, they lose. If they play on the road on Monday night football, they lose. If they play on the road Sunday night football, they lose. 21 straight losses in road games outside the 1 o'clock window. The Jaguars kept that streak rolling. They are my third biggest loser of the weekend. Number two, for sort of the same reasons, the Chicago Bears. Man, if you lose to Brock Osweiler, you are a loser. You could have gotten to 4-1 and kept a 1.5-game lead over the rest of your division. Instead, you gagged. You choked like a bunch of dogs. You lost to Brock Osweiler. You let him throw for 380 yards. You got to be the second biggest loser of the weekend. Number one, West Virginia and Will Grier. You hate to see it. That Heisman campaign goes up in flames. That Heisman campaign is up in flames. Losing to Iowa State as number six in the country. A lot of people had that game circled as a upset alert. Well, it happened. West Virginia's high-flying offense grounded. Iowa State controlled that game. West Virginia and their season of destiny goes by the wayside. Even if they went out and beat Oklahoma and Texas, probably not going to be enough to get them in the playoff. Which has to be a pretty helpless feeling. They're my biggest losers of the weekend. Ben, you have anything you want to add? You got any losers?
Everybody's a winner.
I didn't know if Ben wanted to include the poor bar down in Auburn that his friends threw up in the middle of during the Tennessee-Auburn game.
Oh, no.
Whoever had to clean that up, a pretty big loser of the weekend.
Yeah, Sky Bar employees are losers of the weekend. My brother, who wanted Keller Chris to be the starter.
Oh, yeah.
He's a loser of the weekend.
Great addition by Ben Lee. The Keller Chris fans, big losers of the weekend.
Huge losers of the weekend.
I am glad.
I wonder if there's any that can hear us.
I am very glad I held on to all of my Jarrett Garantano stock and bought up everyone else's that was selling it.
Wonder if there's anybody out in the lobby at the station who said Keller Chris was better than Garantano.
Would be really tough. Would be really tough to defend that take.
Oh, what's that? Everyone on It's Optional.
Oh, damn. You hate to see it.
Yeah, biggest loser of the weekends right there, easily.
You hate to see it. Meanwhile, the Drew Lock for Heisman campaign up in flames. Garantano better than Drew Lock. Garantano better than Drew Lock.
What happened? Dooley can't get it done.
Ah, damn.
Sad.
Keller Chris fanboys and JG haters definitely deserve to be on the losers list. Good call by Ben Lee. Two nice additions. Last call on the other side. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The McKinney Audi Knoxville.
Join Fox Sports Knoxville each game day as we bring you the Fan Run Tennessee Tailgate. Live from Leaderboard on the famous Knoxville Strip. Tennessee Tailgate is a pregame show and live event all in one. Swing by Leaderboard to tailgate with us before home games and watch Tennessee's road games. And don't forget to listen to Fan Run Radio to hear the Tennessee Tailgate pregame show beginning 2 hours before kickoff each week. It's the Fan Run Tennessee Tailgate from Leaderboard. Game days on Fox Sports Knoxville. Fan Run Radio. The Voluntary Reaction. Big Orange Country's premier UT postgame call-in show. As soon as the game is over, tune in to Fan Run Radio for The Voluntary Reaction. Distilled by Volunteer Vodka.
Volunteer Vodka.
The Voluntary Reaction. Win or lose, it's must-hear radio.
Y'all are doing the Lord's work again for this kind of thing.
The Voluntary Reaction with Russell Smith and John Reed on Fox Sports Knoxville. Raw. Unfiltered. Real.
Last call here on the program. Got a little bit of a breaking news. Hit the alarm. Tennessee, South Carolina next Saturday will be played under the lights. 7:30. Damn it.
I like that.
I mean, yeah, sure. As someone who does voluntary reaction weekly, not just a one-time fill-in, that game's probably going to get over at 11, be here until 2 or 3 a.m.
I thought the people had spoken.
The people want Cody. I can't make that call. The people want Cody.
It was just better. We won.
I don't even remember half the show, so I guess it was okay. That's what people said.
I watched the smack so many times.
He oversold the smack.
The first one, but the second one was some contact, man.
Yeah. I was pumped. I wanted you to hit me.
I thought about audible and going with just a straight punch to the top of the head. Just catching by surprise.
Just knock me out.
Jab right in the head.
Just knock me out, right? That would be awful. We got to be careful. This big TV back here. Crashing the TV. Well, it was fun, though.
So Tennessee, South Carolina will be a 7:30 kickoff. I assume that means SEC Network, maybe ESPN, but probably SEC Network. Is it already confirmed SEC Network? Either way, night game. Gonna imagine that's gonna be cold. Maybe Tennessee can exorcise some demons from the 2016 night trip to Columbia, South Carolina.
I kind of want to go now. The last SEC road game I went to was South Carolina in 2014, I think, and that was a great game. That was a nice win.
Yeah.
Perhaps we could do it again.
I mean, you should go. I feel like that would be a good chance to support the boys, support the team. I imagine South Carolina tickets will be pretty easy to get. Mm-hmm. I imagine they'll be pretty easy to get. I don't think people will be lining up to watch Tennessee play South Carolina, especially from the Gamecock sideline. I do think Tennessee fans will travel pretty well, pumped about their team and pumped about that win.
That's a nice drive down to Columbia, too, through the mountains, go down through Spartanburg and get out of the mountains. And it's an easy drive to make.
All right, pump the brakes, keep rolling. Did it go first or second?
Yeah, first.
Go for it.
50 Cent offers fighter Khabib money to fight in a different place. I want to know. 50 Cent is trying to get the newly crowned UFC lightweight champion, Khabib, to fight for Bellator. In a post on Instagram, he called the UFC's treatment of Khabib following the brawl after UFC 229 wrong, and he offered him $2 million to jump ship to the rival MMA promotion. 50 Cent, I think it's wrong what the UFC is doing. They didn't do the same thing to McGregor, and I'll pay $2 million in cash tonight if he will fight for me at Bellator. I'll deal with Dana White and your contract later, 50 wrote. UFC's not the only game in town.
All right, 50, there you go. And now apparently Khabib wants to fight Floyd Mayweather in that boxing match. So he's got a lot of offers, I guess. All right, I got a stat that paints a Tennessee player in a surprisingly good light.
Pump your brakes, kid.
When looking at cornerbacks in coverage from the Power Five, David Long from Michigan leads the way. He's only given up 0.15 yards. But Alante Taylor makes the top six. Freshman. Alante Taylor comes in at number six in the country, allowing 0.41 yards per coverage snap. Best for six in the country. Not as freshman, just overall. Top six in the country. Pretty good.
Is he on Cam Sutton freshman level?
I don't know. I'd imagine that Cam didn't
I remember
shut down receivers like that. I mean, but Cam played more snaps and was a starter. Alante has kind of bounced around between starting and just getting a lot of reps.
It seems like Cam made a lot of big plays, too, like just kind of out of nowhere that were more memorable so far than what Alante has done. But that's a really nice step. deputies used Doritos to lure Pig back home.
Yes! Yes!
Deputies in California used Doritos to lure a pig who was the size of a mini horse back home. The pig was running around a neighborhood in San Bernardino County when the sheriff's office received a call on Saturday to try to capture him. One of the deputies happened to have Doritos in her lunch bag and video. There's a video circulating out there that shows her leaving a trail of the chips, which the pig followed, and they were able to obtain him and get him in his pen where they secured the gate. They lured him there with Doritos.
All right.
Who would have guessed that pigs like Doritos? They eat literally anything. I would think they would love Doritos.
Well, then you would have thought that pigs like Doritos.
Have you ever fed a pig?
Yes.
I figured you had. I mean, being on a farm. But, they'll eat anything.
I don't want to incriminate myself in future murders, but I've always said if I was going to murder someone or needed to get rid of a dead body, just throw them to the pigs. Yeah. Pigs will eat anything.
Well, people have done that. I think we had a story maybe last year we talked about, maybe probably around this segment, where somebody had eaten. Yeah, it was a pig. Ate a body.
Yep.
They don't leave much behind.
Nope. Of course they like Doritos.
Yeah.
Everyone likes Doritos. Who doesn't like Doritos?
There's got to be somebody that doesn't like Doritos.
Speaking of murders, Halloween's new Michael Myers has interesting method before movie. James Jude Courtney is his name. He will be the second Michael Myers. They're bringing the original one back to be like the unmasked Michael Myers, like when he gets out of the institution or whatever. But then they got a new guy behind the mask, like a stunt double who can move a little faster and do some more moves. But to get ready for this role, he trained with an actual hitman. Mm. Said he once lived with an actual hitman who had said, look, I saw you in this one movie, and yeah, you did pretty good, but that's not how you kill people. To which the hitman said, I'm going to teach you how and show you how a trained killer actually works. You have to have dramatic pauses and dialogue. Or like the movies do that. The movies have dramatic pauses and dialogue. A true predator would never waste time doing that. There's no long pauses before you kill somebody. If you're Michael Myers, who's just a crazy psycho, you just go and you stab.
Don't need any drama.
No drama.
Just a good killing.
Just get it done by someone who has actually killed people before.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if you gotta train for the part, you know.
I think on Friday. Well, I don't think on Friday I did watch Halloween, the original one. And I realized as I was watching it that might be the first time I ever watched it all the way through. I've seen so many damn Halloween movies that I guess I assumed I had actually sat down and watched the original, but I don't think I had. I think I'd seen half of it, and then I'd watched, you know, Halloween 2 or 6 or 10 or whatever and just kind of all meshed them together. But I went through and I watched the original one to get ready for this weekend. I'm pumped to see the new Halloween. Love scary movies.
You're a big Halloween guy.
Love scary movies.
Elon Musk is making tequila.
No thanks. I'm over Elon. Go.
Florida man attacks his mother with sausages.
Yep.
You could have just stopped after Florida man.
Police in Florida arrested a 22-year-old man who allegedly pelted his mother with sausages because she accidentally bumped into him while making his dinner. Oh, man. Hermes Calias Gasparin attacked his mother in their Bradenton home, the Smoking Gun reported. The food fight erupted after he demanded his mom make him dinner. She said she was busy. Then she caved in. She began to cook his meal, sausages, accidentally knocked into her son, and then he threw the sausages at her, hitting her in the eye, and apparently put his hands on her neck and pushed her.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything you'd like to add before we wrap up this show? Tomorrow, NBA season kicks off. I'm pumped about that. I'm going to tell you to go home and study. Yep. We may do a whole hour.
I'll be watching baseball.
Okay, I guess.
I might try to win some NBA.
I mean, there's no NBA on tonight.
You mean just study.
Just study. Rosters. Just get familiar. If you have any questions or topics you want to talk about, just come prepared. Tips off. One of my favorite days of the year. For the conversation. Ben Lee, good job by you, intern Andrew. Fantastic. Cody, solid. John Reed, phenomenal as always. It's Optional up next. Stay locked in on the brand new 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, or online at foxsportsknoxville.com. Fan Run Radio.